sad day in that when I think of all the people, my Jewish brothers and sisters, who do not know Messiah yet. That's what it's all about. That's why God allows us to live on this earth, that we would bear witness to him. Praise be to God. I've prepared a very, very short message today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's entitled Yom Kippur in the Brit Hadashah, which is the New Testament. This holy day, Yom Kippur, contains important truth for the believer in Yeshua. In fact, if any holy day deserves special recognition by believers, Yom Kippur should be at the very top of this list. There are a number of references to the importance of this holy day in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. In the book of Romans, Rav Shaul, which is Rabbi Saul of Tarsus, explains the significance of our atonement in the context of Yom Kippur. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 26, he was inspired by the Spirit of the living God to write down these words. And not to simply write them out, but to speak them out. Since all have sinned and come short of earning God's praise. I know we've heard that differently, have we not? But God desires, your Heavenly Father desires to praise over you. Continuing. By grace, by God's grace without earning it, all are guaranteed the status of being considered righteous before him through the act of redeeming us from our enslavement to sin that was accomplished by our Messiah, Yeshua. God put Yeshua forward as our kapara for sin through his faithfulness in respect to his bodily, to his bloody body, sacrificial death. This vindicated God's righteousness because in his forbearance, he passed over with neither punishment nor remission the sins people have committed in the past. As propitiation, expiation, and atonement, from the Hebrew word kapar, which has a sense of ransom by means of substitute. On Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the rabbis point to a need for teshuvah, which is repentance, and prayer, and charity. Yet these alone do not satisfy the requirements of kapara, as prescribed in the Torah. Messianic Jews or Hebrews 9:22 says this, in fact, according to the Torah, almost everything is purified with blood. The idea without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So for 2,000 years, we Jewish people have not had a temple. For 2,000 years, we have not had a priesthood. For 2,000 years, we've had no access to Abba, Father, God. Why did Abba, Father, God remove the temple and remove the priesthood? So that there be no other way for us to turn. There's one way to the Father, and it's through Yeshua. And that's why people that promote that there's a second covenant to the Jewish people, and by the coattails or the merits of Father Abraham, that they could earn their salvation as a lie from the pit of hell. And that's why God put his exclamation point in there, that he allowed the second temple to be destroyed. Now for 2,000 years. Remember the Babylonian captivity? That was only 70. But Messiah had not come yet. So the temporary Levitical priesthood had to continue until the Redeemer came, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Pesach, Passover, when that was first instituted, each family was to take a lamb and kill the lamb and take its blood and spread it on the posts of their outer home. That the angel of death came over Egypt and he passed over anyone that had the blood of the lamb. Yeshua is the blood of the lamb, and his own precious blood has been applied to your and my hearts. He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He has given the ultimate sacrifice out of love that we may be purified, that salvation is not earned. There's no merit. Being raised as a boy, you were taught in the synagogue, well, do better things so that your good works will outweigh your bad works. Then possibly God will smile upon you. If you go through teshuva and make amends with family members and friends and neighbors, then possibly, but there's no guarantee, that your name could be inscribed in the book of life for one more year. But God's word says, without the shedding of blood, sins cannot be forgiven. So for 2,000 years, my Jewish people have had an exclamation point. The priesthood has been removed. The temple has been removed. But God prepared a way. And there are many who came to know Yeshua as their Redeemer. If you closer read the book of Acts, it talks about that there were many former Levites who came to know Messiah. But Satan has rubbed them out of history. But their witness is there, and their testimony is still there. So let us continue here. The word translated kapara, which means propitiation, is somewhat misunderstood today since it was commonly used. It's not commonly used today. The Greek word contains the idea of appeasing an angry Greek god. While there may be some relationship, the Hebrew equivalent of the word is clear. Kapara means more than appeasement. It also means atonements, a term any Jew of the first century could relate to. On the execution stake, Messiah Yeshua was displayed as our kapara, our sacrifice, the fulfillment of what Yom Kippur is all about. It's not about Christmas. It's not about Easter. Some of you may be offended by what I'm saying now. It's all about the blood of the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, our Redeemer. Continuing. Since the theme of atonement is so central to the message of the Brit Hadashah, which is the New Testament, there are other references to Yom Kippur in the book of Acts. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, Rabbi Saul of Tarsus, is now completing his last voyage to Rome in order to appeal to the political charges against him. While it speaks mostly of the dangerous weather that had developed. This is from Acts 27:9. The writer, who is Luke, makes a reference stating there was already past Yom Kippur. See, Rav Shaul continued in the feasts of the Lord. It's a lie from the Christian church that all of a sudden he stopped being Jewish and stopped living and practicing the feasts of the Lord. Constantine has robbed you with his lies. These are the Lord's feasts. If you're the Lord's and you've been grafted into the Commonwealth of Israel, these are your feasts. Hasatan wants you to walk in deception and not understand that Yeshua is revealed. His first coming and second coming is revealed in the Feast of Adonai. And they are eternal. Throughout the heavens, we will continue to be celebrating the feasts of the Lord. Both the natural, who have become spiritual Jews from the wild olive tree, and the natural branches of the olive tree, who have become born again. Yeshua said to Nicodemus, who was a member of Sanhedrin, "You must be born again." So when you visit with a Jewish person who does not know Messiah, don't be ashamed and do not hold back. And say to that person, look them straight into the eyes and say this, "Thank you. From you came my Redeemer, who is Yeshua, Jesus my Lord." But with all due respect, you must become born again. Search the scriptures. Allow the Spirit of living God to speak to you afresh again. And this is my prayer. And look him straight in the eyes. Say these words. I want the God of Abraham to reveal himself to you yet again afresh. I want the God of Moshe to rise up and allow signs and wonders to be in your life. This is the God that I now serve. But you must be born again to receive him. Ask the Spirit, the Ruach. Ask Abba, Father God, to reveal himself to you afresh, just as he did to our father Abraham and to Moshe. Be bold, be not afraid. Because the scripture says this, God has allowed a temple veil to go over my people's eyes so that you from the nations would bring them to jealousy when they see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in your lives with signs and wonders following. You see, we Jews, we look for signs, do we not? We're starving for signs until the time we come to know Messiah, Yeshua. So continuing here, Luke 4:16. Yeshua was called to the Torah in his local synagogue of Nazareth. And after reading the powerful passage from Isaiah 61, Yeshua delivered a simple yet stunning message claiming to be the Messiah, the Anointed One, who would set the captives free. And so with that, the Lord instructed me earlier this week to simply read that word that Yeshua gave. And the message would then be complete tonight. Think of this now. We're now in Nazareth. And a young man has come back to the synagogue where he grew up. The old aged rabbi is there. And he notices that Yeshua comes into the synagogue with some other men. And they come and they sit. And the rabbi's so excited because here was Yeshua, someone that just seemed like the Torah was alive in his heart and mind. And he loved to teach him and train him. And what a blessing would be this day for the rabbi to go, and he stopped the attendant who was bringing out the Torah scrolls and whispered to him, "Today, you're not going to read. There's someone I want to come forward and read." And so the rabbi excuses himself, walks up to Yeshua, and says, "Today, you are a Torah reader. I'm excited to see what Adonai will share through you today." Isaiah 61. And Yeshua goes up there. He doesn't open up a book. But the Torah attendant comes over, and he places the Torah scrolls and rolls it open. And this day, the Parashah, the Haftorah, is Isaiah 61. And so Yeshua walks up there, and he looks at the Hebrew words. And he knows these words. Why? Because he was there to give it to Yeshayahu, who is Isaiah. He ordained these words for Isaiah to write. Think now of the hundreds of years that Yeshua was waiting, because he knew this day would come when he stood in the synagogue. And not only would he read, but he'd give his interpretation as a rabbi. The Spirit of Adonai Elohim is upon me, because Adonai has anointed me to announce the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to let out into the light those bound in the dark, to proclaim the year of favor of Adonai, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Yes, provide those in Zion, who mourn, giving them garlands instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a cloak of praise instead of a heavy spirit, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness planted by Adonai, in which he takes pride. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the sites along been destroyed. They will renew the ruined cities destroyed many generations ago. Strangers will stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners will plow your land and tend your vines, but you will be called Kohanim of Adonai. You will be called priests. Everyone will be called priests. Spoken of as ministers to our God, you will feed on the wealth of nations and revel in their riches because of your shame, which was doubled. And because they cried, they deserve disgrace. Therefore, in their land, what they own will be doubled. And of joy forever will be theirs. For I, Adonai, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. So I will be faithful to the reward them and make an eternal covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are the seed of Adonai, who he has blessed. I am so joyful in Adonai. My soul rejoices in my God, for he clothed me in salvation. And just think about that. When Yeshua said these words, they are clothed in salvation. He said this. They are clothed in Yeshua, who's standing before them. But Yeshua himself. Continuing here. Dressed with me with robe of triumph, like a bridegroom wearing a festive turban, like a bride adorned with her jewels. For just as the earth brings forth its plants, or a garden makes its plants spring up, so Adonai will cause victory and glory to spring up before all the nations. And when he was done, he gave his interpretation of the Torah. He said, this day, these words are now fulfilled. How perplexing was that for his rabbi to hear that? But what joy may have sprung up in his heart. Because he knew of the rumors that Joseph was not Yeshua's father. He knew of all those rumors. He saw all these things. And he remembered hearing the story of Yeshua returning from the temple when they went up to Jerusalem there. And Yeshua at age 12 was confounding the rabbis. with his answers. He knew that there was something different about this young man. So he was not quick to condemn. But as you read the scripture further there, it says this, he went outside and they were pushing him towards an edge of a cliff, desiring to push him off. All right? That's in the scriptures. But it says this, that he simply walked among them and they weren't able to give him any harm whatsoever. And so with all this, we know this, that Yeshua is our Redeemer, our only hope. Alfred Edersheim shares his view about Messiah Yeshua. And he wrote a book, it's called The Times of Jesus, the Messiah. This was a great time for Yeshua to publicly speak the words that the Messiah was to speak to all Israel. And when Yeshua comes back, just as Tim shared, and as Heidi shared, when my Jewish people, when the whole earth turns against them, and all the nations are gathered against her, they will cry out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai, and then he shall return. And then Israel will no longer be the tail, but she will become the head of the nations. And God will pour out his spirit upon every male and female of all the 12 tribes of Israel. He'll gather all 12 that he's dispersed them to the four corners of the earth. And you want to talk about Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit, evangelism, and the power of God, that these male and female Jewish evangelists will go forth and proclaim the kingdom of God as never before. And there will be a great revival, not in just one little hamlet, one little corner of the world, but it will go stretch throughout the whole earth. The salvation of our God is found in and through Yeshua. Blessed be his name. Amen.